Quantos dois rapazes com a Cibele foi a 4 anos e vive a uma certa de ativo to rehash in a summary way of TV, but a re-engagement tool will also make reference to the TV that has provided to us. And honorable members, as they ask questions, they will also introduce themselves. In terms of time, we've got less than 45 minutes with your concern. So we'll appreciate your response to the concern to the point, but also I will present that as we are doing, look at the point because of the look at the other members would have asked.
Good morning, Ms. Makubela. My name is Sibusiso Mncwabe, a member of this committee. My question to you is, in your own view, what needs to be done by PSC in order to make sure that government departments employ competent and dedicated personnel, especially on senior positions? Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to come and present myself. First of all, I think the Public Service Commission, based on the fact that there has been quite a lot of research that has been done to establish the extent to which, in terms of recruitment, the public administration is doing, there is a need to educate the senior management, for instance, or the entire all the departments on what Section 197 is. Section 197 requires all public servants to be dedicated public servants and be able to serve the government of the day irrespective of their political affiliation. And I think if there is a need to hire committed public servants, there is a need to educate the public servants on that area first, for them to understand that I may be supporting a specific party, but the fact that I'm a public servant is a need for me to be able to serve the public. And after doing that, there is a need to do an assessment. Because I'm working for the Public Service Commission currently, we did a study on bodies of qualification, for instance, and we discovered that most of the senior managers have got qualifications, but most of them have indicated that they are only coming to work to only earn a salary. So it means the motivation is not there, the demoralization when it comes to officials who are working within the public service, and that will give the Public Service Commission a need to identify areas that need to be, you know, a study to be conducted to establish what is it that makes public servants to only consider the public administration as an area of earning a salary only and not adding value and making sure that the services are delivered as required. So that will also give Public Service Commission and, you know, sort of a picture of areas that would need to be improved on over and above having the qualifications, over and above educating the public servant about Section 197. And I think after having done also workshop on constitutional values and principles, and having realized that most senior managers were not even aware where values in the constitution were, the question would be how then would they be able to uphold those values. So educating them also about values and principles in the constitution that they need to uphold when they are within the public service will also be one of the areas that the Public Service Commission should do before going the route of assessing the departments themselves, but educating, you know, the workforce to understand what is it that it means to be a public servant, what is it that it means to uphold values and principles, and then, you know, capacitate them in order to understand how they are going to do the work within the public service. I think we'll be able to have a workforce that will be committed, and an attitude will also play a role from an individual perspective on how they are going to make sure that they do work.
Yeah, I think I'm covered to this.
Thank you, Honorable.
Good morning. Ms. Makubela, you already referred to the capable or the capabilities of public service staff. My question is, seeing that we have a specific emphasis on the developmental role that the public service must play, and the fact that it seems as if we're unable to really transform and develop or become a developmental state as envisioned, for example, in the National Development Plan, what role do you believe can the Public Service Commission play to create that capacity for the public service to support the developmental agenda?
Thank you so much for the question. What I've discovered when the Public Service Commission was hosting a roundtable on building a capable and career-oriented public service was the fact that I don't think people working in the public service, in the public administration, understand what developmental state is. And because of that, due to being in the province, I have wrote sort of a concept note that is encouraging the province to also host a roundtable of the same sort to educate both state-owned entities, departments, senior management in the province, councillors, municipal managers on what a developmental state is. And I think after understanding what a developmental state is and what are the requirements for building a capable developmental state, then the Public Service Commission will be able to come and say, for instance, based on performance management within the public administration, the performance management is not properly, you know, done the way it's supposed. It's not achieving actually the goals that it is aimed at achieving. You find situations where employees don't have one-on-one engagement to identify areas of improvement. You find situations where the areas that have been that the employee has identified as interventions to develop the employees don't make their way into the workplace skills plan of the department. And the question is, what is it that the department has done that informed them to develop the workplace skills plan, which does not have areas that were identified by the employees to form part of the workplace skills plan? And in situations where we have conducted assessment on the need of qualifications like in Limpopo, they indicate that whatever training that they attend to is not relevant to what they are doing on a daily basis. They don't attend to seminars which make HR not relevant and not clear up with the trends that are currently happening within the public sector, the public administration or around in terms of the environment on human resources management. And I think that should give the Public Service Commission an area where there is a need to identify what else can be done and advise the executives and also the department on areas that need to be done. And what we have done in the book was to do a diagnostic, sort of an analysis to check why is it that performance management, for instance, is not working. And then after that, we realized that when we went to public works and did a diagnostic analysis, we realized that actually the planning tools are not allowing the department to be able to realize, for instance, the targets in the annual performance plan. The outcomes that are in the strategic plan are actually not linked to what the HOD's performance agreement is supposed to have. There's no cascading down of the performance agreement from the HOD down to the lowest level. So you cannot be able to tell what is it that the project manager who is supposed to manage the building of the school is feeding into a specific area that the HOD is having within the department. Areas of recruitment, Limpopo is one of the provinces that is having quite a lot of negative appointments. We did an investigation where we identified the fact that since 2007, I think until 2011, all the HODs, 23 of them that were appointed, were found to be irregular. And then we also identified the fact that most of the HODs that were appointed, 23 of them, 22 were able to serve the full term. And that tells you the extent to which the retention strategy within the public administration is not as tight. One of the other issues is the fact that mentoring and coaching within the public administration is non-existent. There are people who are brought in back after having been employees within the public administration who come back and become consultants. And the question is, why didn't they impart the skills that they were having when they were, for instance, engineers, in order for the engineers not to come back and be consultants? So it becomes sort of a cycle that needs to be broken down. Record management is also one of the issues where knowledge management is not really, you know, made sort of a tool that will assist in building a capable
Thank you, Chair. I'm Wilma Leo Truchen, and my sign language interpreter is Trudy Kennison, voicing for me. I only have two questions for you. Can you explain to us what your understanding is of the values and principles of that you find in Section 195 of the Constitution? And can you mention a few of them and elaborate on that? And then my second question is, what is your understanding with regard to the functions, the different functions of the Public Service Commission? And can you explain that to us? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Can I start with the second one, or I have to start with I'll start with the functions. Thank you so much for the question. The Public Service Commission is actually established in terms of Chapter 10 of the Constitution, and Section 196 explain what kind of functions that the Public Service Commission need to perform. The functions include monitoring, advising, investigation, and on the grievances, actually give also, over and above giving the recommendations, giving the remedies, and also giving directives whenever we're doing an investigation or we've done a study that the Public Service Commission realized that the department persons need to improve on. So over and above that, after having done all that, there's a requirement for the Public Service Commission to report to the legislature or the provincial legislature, but also having done the feedback or reporting to the executive or the EPCO within the province, for instance. And also in the province, also engage the senior managers in terms of reporting. The Public Service Commission in Section 196.43 is actually, there's an expectation that all organs of state must assist the Public Service Commission in doing this work. And I think that's one of the areas that the Public Service Commission is not doing well on. The directives part in terms of making sure that after we have done recent an investigation, we give directives in order for the specific institution to implement is also not done as expected. I think there's even less implementation of recommendations that the Public Service Commission is receiving back from the organization or the departments that we do investigation or research or even monitoring. And because of that, it results in situations where we just dish out reports. For instance, we have issued out 2,000 reports since 1998. And again, and if you can check, there has never been a situation where the Public Service Commission has given sort of a dashboard overview of what is it that they have done and what outcome have they contributed towards and what impact have they made within the public administration in order to make that change. And that, I think that is one area that needs to be mostly emphasized. The Public Service Commission, as much as it does the research, but it's mostly paper-based, and there's a need for the Public Service Commission to improve in terms of you know, going the electronic route, and making sure that whatever information that, for instance, is brought to the Public Administration Portfolio Committee is at a report and high level, not really presenting the reports that only come and say these are the recommendations. In terms of section 196.4E, the reporting on activities, I think we have not done well in terms of that area, making sure that every time we do investigation, we bring them back into the legislature or the portfolio committee to make sure that there's sort of an indication of how and what we have done and the extent to which we have tried to assist the public administration in improving. I'll go to the constitutional values and principles. The constitutional values and principles are nine. And the first one is promoting high professional ethics within the public administration. This is an area where it's mostly about conduct and behavior of people within the public administration. And the Public Service Commission usually would look at investigation of national anti-corruption cases. We also would look at the financial disclosure framework. But I think it should go beyond that to sort of indicate the extent to which people who are at the senior management level are behaving themselves in an ethical manner, and also leading by example. Usually when I do workshops about financial disclosure and financial misconduct, I'll say, for instance, Limpopo is owing, the employees are owing something like 27 million since 2000 eight or nine, if I'm not mistaken, which has not been recovered due to financial misconduct. And the Public Service Commission always gives information that the department always already know. I mean, we say to them, you have not disclosed all your financial interest, but they already know that they didn't disclose those. But there's sort of a requirement by the Public Service Commission to go beyond just giving information that the department already know and advise on how going forward the departments are supposed to make sure that conflict of interest is managed. Because sometimes we'll repeat information that the AG already know. I think one of the constitutional views and principles will be public administration needs to be development oriented. This is one area where, for instance, in Zimbabwe there are quite a lot of mines. There's a need for a change in terms of socio-economic sort of situations. Zimbabwe has got quite a lot of mines, and I asked Office of the Premier in one of the sessions, who is actually monitoring the fact that there is beneficiation of people who are living in villages that are living those mines? And Office of the Premier indicated that it's Mineral Resources Department. And I asked Department of Economic Development and Tourism, who actually is in the province making sure that Mineral Resources is making sure that the beneficiation within the province from the mines and skills development is done as agreed in the mining rights? And they said, no, it's Mineral Resources, which means there is no provincial monitoring system that is assisting the province to be able to identify, you know, areas where mineral resources is expected to improve and make sure that there is improvement. And Public Service Commission needs to be able to advise in those areas to say these are the monitoring tools that can be able to use in order to improve on those areas. Another constitutional.
The Public Service Commission is a custodian of good government, and one of the things which the perception is otherwise by facts, we can leave that debate, but not the discussion around public services that should be the service of the earth. And having been in the space of public services for years, how would you respond to we
The perception that the Public Service Commission is a custodian of good governance, I think it's another debate for probably another day, but I think there's an area for us to improve on being the example, or leading by example in terms of being the custodian of good governance. In terms of political administrative interface, we have issued a report that was indicating facts, that was explaining to the I think the executive and also the legislature that this is what we found. But at the same time, our recommendations were not really indicating the way forward on how this should be. So we did a roundtable on building a capable and gender-oriented developmental stage, and that area also came to the fore. And there was also suggestions that maybe the Public Service Commission should be actually be the one that is responsible for appointing HODs, and also there should be a DDG that is bigger than all the DDGs that will be able to manage this. But according to my view, I think there is a need to educate the executive authorities on what their role is according to the Public Service Act. And what is it that is expected for them to be able to build a relationship with the heads of departments, for instance? I don't think we're doing much as the Public Service Commission to reach out and have one-on-one engagements with the executing authorities to make sure that, for instance, we educate them on the fact that delegations need to be delegated. As much as there is a need for them to have all the delegations to themselves, but in order for effective and efficient use of resources, there is a need for delegation. And we've also got situations where two HODs, for instance, have, don't have delegations at all, have been withdrawn. And I advise the commissioner that we need to go and engage with the MEC to indicate that for things to move smoothly, there is a need for the delegation. And I also think that there is minimal understanding of how the implementation of the public service or the legislation that govern the public administration are supposed to be implemented. And there's a need for Public Service Commission to be involved in induction of legislature members. In Limpopo, we have gone to an extent of even conducting the very same induction, and also making sure that we provide support in terms of advising them on how they implement the legislation that are applicable to the public service. I also think that moving the HODs moving the executive authorities from having a responsibility that they play currently completely may open a situation where HODs are able to manipulate the system without somebody overseeing it. So I wouldn't completely want a situation where all the powers given to the HOD without the executing authority having sort of an oversight role, if you want to call it that, which would make sure that both the implementation of policies of the government of the day are implemented according to plan, and also making sure that there is sort of a relationship that will assist in understanding actually the use of resources as expected. So difficult as it may be, I think there is a need to basically educate the executive authorities on what actually public administration is all about, what are the legislations that are required, and how do they implement them, and what is it that is expected of them to be able to deliver services. One thing that I've noted also is the fact that there is not much cascading of information that relates to the policies of the government of the day down to the administration, which becomes now the prerogative of the HOD to implement things that may not really be feeding towards the achievement of the policies of the government of the day. And in the process, it causes friction. But if there's a good flow of information from the EA down to the HOD, explaining, for instance, if they come from whatever meetings that are relating to political parties, they need to cascade. This is how the government of the day is heading towards. And then we'll be realizing Section 197 and making sure that those that report to them implementing according to that.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Honorable
The question was asked you already, but I was referring to this question. From the year your personal views, do you think that there is political interference in the public services, public administration? Whatever your answer, you give, what informs the answer? What informs the thinking?
My name is Matala Ton. I'm asking this question because of what the honorable just said. I'm getting the impression that your focus answered the question you asked. There seems to be a problem emanating from the executive authority rather than the administrative authority. Because most of your answer was, the greater part of your answer was focusing on what the creative authority is expected to do, other than own fight. So I don't know whether my team is on the point, but I'm getting one of the chief
issues. Should I go?
Yes.
Alright, I'll start with you. Yeah. I think it's in both ways. I've worked for different organizations as per my CV, and I've served under different political parties. And what I've realized is that officials have got the power to destroy or make any government that comes into an organization. I was doing workshops on constitutional values and principles that educated senior management as to what it is that they expected and how we have to move them. And every time there was sort of an indication that, no, the center should hold, whatever that means. And I said to them, but you have been delegated, you have been given delegation of authority. And the treatment, for instance, is not signed by the EA for lower level. But that's where we find the regularities when we do investigation. So there's a role that you play which results in things not being done correctly. So I'm trying to say to you there that, yes, the administrators are also playing a big role, and if they realize that the EA is not cleaned up about how the public administration policies are supposed to be implemented, they are able to use the situation to their benefit, but the person who's going to take the blame will be the EA. That's why I emphasize the fact that there's an importance to educate the EAs to make sure that they understand what is expected of them, how to implement this policy, and going forward they will be able to say, no, I can't. I'll give an example. We did an investigation and we made recommendations and we submitted to the EA as instructed. And when the recommendations, the response came from the department signed by the EA said, your recommendations are immaterial. And I said to the commissioner, they can't be immaterial because they are admitting of areas that they have not done correctly. We went back to the EA and I was accompanying the commissioner. The EA asked the question, did I sign that letter? And I said, yes, sir, your signature is on the letter. And he looked at the person that was supposed to be supporting him. Why did you write it like that? Because that's not what I told you to do. It comes to a point where that I'm saying that as administrators, we know how to manipulate the process. We have perfected the art of knowing that a clean audit can become clean even if it's not clean. And until the EA understands what is expected of them and how they are supposed to look for areas that need to show the fact that it's not actually a clean audit and we need to tell the public exactly how the situation is, we will still have this blaming game of officials saying no in the EA. And unfortunately, because having worked for different political parties, I've realized that when political party X comes in, there will be sort of a labor kind of an approach. And when political party G comes in, then there's sort of, you know, innovation and, but it will take the EA who understands what is it that is expected of them to be able to say to the HOD, I won't sign that until I see A, B, C, D, and E, and sought advice from the PAC. I don't think PAC is trusted enough to for the EAs to sort advice. In Limpopo, they would even get advice from external legal practitioners, which means the Public Service Commission needs to condition itself in such a manner that we are trusted enough to be able to, you know, provide that advice and educate the EAs in a manner that will make sure that they. Do I think there's political interference? To a certain extent, yes, and this is based on the investigations that we have conducted as the Public Service Commission, mostly in Limpopo on the regular appointments, and there was also one on supply chain management. I remember in one instance, I was having an acting commissioner was residing in Bumala, and there was a tender that was advertised, and the person who came and reported anonymously as a public member indicated that she suspects that a person that needs to be given a tender is actually attached to the EA, and the EA has given an instruction. And then we did an investigation, and the rest was the findings were indicating that there was interference. Limpopo is one of the provinces that doesn't keep a lot of CFOs. When the EA come into the office, a CFO will either be shifted aside or suspended. We had situations where all chief directors in one department were suspended except for one, and new chief directors were brought in to act in positions. But then I asked the commissioner that we need to advise in order for us to be able to make sure that such incidents don't result in the department not performing as expected. We did a precautionary suspension fact sheet, which indicated that Limpopo was spending almost like 10 million on precautionary suspension, and we engaged the office of the premier, and those actually, for instance, were reinstated back into the department. But some of the investigation reports, when we requested, there was not really much that was needed. So I'm trying to say to you, there are areas where there will be political interference, withdrawal of delegations is sort of some of the indications that indicate that I want to have control, or I want to also sort of see how you work in order for me to trust you enough to give you the delegation. But the officials are also playing a role in terms of, you know, affecting the service delivery and the efficiency and effectiveness within.
From my side, Mr. Kugel, you have made a reference in terms of your experience with Limpopo, which there's nothing wrong with that, but also in your process, you say that if they would have had it this way, if there was this 1, 2, 3, in terms of their responses. But just to summarize that, what value add do you think you can bring to the Public Service Commission if you are fortunate enough to be appointed as one?
I've got 23 years of experience, and I've worked in the Public Service Commission all my life. I mean, in the public service, in the public administration all my life. Since, actually, I started from the lowest level up until to the level that I am. So I think I understand how a public servant behaves and how they can manipulate the system and what it is to look at when you need to be able to improve. I worked in the Western Cape for 10 years, and when I came to the Western Cape, it was during the time when the National Party was in power, when in a meeting Africans would be spoken, and I would sometimes stand up and move away and said to them, when you feel like I would be part of the meeting, you let me know when you need to speak in English, for instance. So I understand dynamics relating to issues of race within the public administration, and I was able to handle them for the 10 years that I worked in the public in the Western Cape. I worked in the Western Cape where it was not easy as a black person, for instance, to be able to break in and be able to lead a project that will change the province on how to do things. And I stand here and say that I have initiated a project that that improves the system that they created and it was starting to function, a performance management system and which was called Payment Vision 2, which led to the capturing of performance agreements of everybody and their plans on the system. And over and above that, I created a system that the current political party leading granted me an opportunity to present, which was the capturing of the APP. Currently, most of the provinces and departments are doing the annual assessment plan manually. When I left the Western Cape was in the process of developing a system that I initiated and presented to the management to say, this is how going forward we can do. I was part of the team that came up with a dashboard, which is assisting the current leadership on how to see the overview of how the entire province is performing. So I'm bringing to you not only paper-based kind of an approach, but I'm also bringing to you an electronic approach which will allow this committee or the Public Administration Committee to have an overview of, for instance, the 2000 report that has been created, but you are not in a position to tell you know, how the Public Service Commission has been able to make the change in the public administration. I've worked in recruitment, I've developed policies, I understand how an employee at the very lowest level can manipulate the recruitment system and be able to hire a guest worker. When I was working in public works, I initiated a project which I sent to Dr. Sean Phillips. And it resulted in us doing a ghost busting exercise, which I was doing with the director at the time, and I was the assistant director at the time. So I know how to manipulate a personal system as an employee. Having not done it myself, but I know what it is that you need to look for when you're supposed to look for this kind of thing. I have not worked much in supply chain management, but I know, having worked in building capital management unit in public works, how employees manipulate the tender management, the tender system, to be able to benefit out of it. I remember when I went to the Public Service Commission, one of the employees in public works said, no, we now are no longer going to be friends because you know that you're going to be giving things that you're not supposed to find. So that's the kind of a person you will be bringing into the Public Service Commission. I don't think the Public Service Commission has been able to crack it at national office in terms of making sure that there's a respect from the national department that they need to get to advise. I am bringing to you a situation where in Limpopo, Public Service Commission is invited to strategic training sessions for us to advise from Office of the Premier, National Treasury, Economic Development, all the departments on areas that they need to improve on. So you have a Public Service Commission that will bring the national department, which cannot even achieve 100% for financial disclosure. And I came in and I think, actually in Limpopo, not having achieved 100% for years since the financial disclosure framework, I moved it from 70-something to 99. Despite employees having been suspended, I made sure that they come and fill the form. So an excuse of saying employees cannot come and fill the form on financial disclosures because they are suspended doesn't exist.
Thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am.
Whatever that needs to be delivered is delivered. So thank you so much.
to you, and you will hear from us through the administration as to whether you're successful or not. Secondly, if there's anything moving forward for us to be considered that we require from you, the administration will conduct in due course. All the best.
はい、だから上に見えるね。